Welcome to the ISF Podcast from the Information Security Forum. The ISF Podcast is hosted by ISF CEO Steve Durbin. And every episode he brings listeners features timely conversations, practical insights, and resources for global cybersecurity professionals. I'm producer Tavia Gilbert. Today's episode features Steve's recent presentation to ISF members on emerging threats for next year. He offers a picture of the evolution of cyber and the resulting challenges and opportunities for security professionals in 2024.
Those of you that normally tune into these sessions will know that in the past, I've tended to look at very specific threats. I'm going to be doing something a little bit different this time. So what I wanted to do was to look at the overall market evolution and then zero in on three key areas that I think are going to be challenging, not just for security professionals, but also for businesses in 2024. Then what I'm going to do is offer up some suggestions as to how we might better deal with those and finish up then just summarizing that. The whole cybersecurity industry is continuing to evolve, and it is evolving very, very rapidly. Everything has gone digital. We know that. Work has become a very much riskier place to be simply because of the way in which we now tend to operate, to access information, to use that information, a lot of it, of course, being on the go and in a hybrid environment. But the other key challenge is that organizations themselves have expanded the overall corporate real estate. So we now work in an environment where organizations have created their own ecosystems. That brings us really front and center with challenges that we see from perhaps a geopolitical space that we haven't seen in the past. I would say that security, cybersecurity in particular, has been fairly insulated from that over the last 12 to 18 months. That's changed. I think looking forward into 2024, it's going to get even worse or better, depending on your perspective on these things. And of course, we have all of the technological changes that are continuing to take place all around the world. And let's not forget things like cyber warfare and regulation. So very fast changing space, very fast evolving market, really challenging for security professionals. But actually, that's all good news. And the reason I say that is that this is probably one of the best opportunities that the security field has had to really show its worth, to really get involved with everything that is going on from a business perspective, and to demonstrate the value that they can bring to the organization. But of course, that comes with risks. And we really have to, I think, focus on how the movement, very fast movement into this fourth industrial revolution is going to shape the way in which we operate, not just as companies, but also as individuals. What happened with the pandemic and post-pandemic, I think, has pretty much solidified for a lot of organizations the notion of hybrid working. From a security standpoint, of course, that pushes control even further away from the center. So what threats does that bring for us? What about artificial intelligence? What about regulation? And how do we manage all of those different opportunities on the one hand, but of course threats on the other? So for the three areas that I'm going to be looking at this year, I've pulled out data, artificial intelligence, and regulation. And what I'm going to do now is go through each of those and really highlight some of the opportunities, as I say, for security in each of those spaces. If we look first at data, how much of what we actually create on a daily basis, manage on a daily basis, has the potential to disrupt business? How do organizations really prepare to manage things like confidentiality, availability of data, of course, and maintaining data quality in a hybrid environment, in a very different environment, in an environment where we're working with very many third parties, where data has a value, but the value of some of it could well be diminished simply because we're creating so much? How do we understand better what is good data, what is data that we want to keep, and data that actually we'd be far better off getting rid of? So one of the questions I think we ought to be asking ourselves is, are we really ready for some of the challenges that are presented with these swelling data stores, this overall range of information that is being gathered. What is the role of security in that? Now, the traditional perspective, of course, will be that security is there to protect the information. There's a clue in the name, information security. But increasingly, businesses are looking for more than that. They're looking for ways in which they can exploit and use that information. So whose role is that? Is that the security professional who has traditionally always looked at securing the information, making sure that it's available, ensuring its confidentiality and integrity? Is that in conflict with what perhaps chief executives and boards are asking for in terms of how they might use data? That's one of the big challenges and big questions that I see for 2024. The very role of information security and cybersecurity in this particular data setup, where the expectation from the business may be inconsistent with some of the ways in which they are now structured, is something that we all need to at least confront and come to an agreement on. And there are different solutions in all of this. We could say that cybersecurity and information security will remain separate. We could try and blend the two. There are pros and cons. But what's important in this place, I think, is for us to at least have the conversation around what are we doing with our data? Whose responsibility is it? And what are we going to do in the event of threat actors actually shifting attention towards manipulating data? Because they will do that. If we become very much more dependent upon using data to make business decisions, whether or not we go into a new market, whether or not we produce a new product, that will have value. And so the big challenge for me, and has been for some time now, and my biggest concern, I suppose, when I look at data, is how do we preserve the integrity of it? And that, of course, leads on quite nicely to the whole issue of artificial intelligence, AI. This is the second big area that I wanted to touch on. And let me say right at the beginning that AI is an emerging technology, in my opinion. It's also nothing new. If you look back at machine learning, that's been happening for very many years. You can go back to a large number of government installations, universities. They've been using this technology probably for about 30 or 40 years. What is different, I would suggest, is that in 2023, we saw the arrival of ChatGPT at a massive scale. And suddenly, people started asking questions about what that might mean. We started to become concerned about the future of work, about potentially new associated threats. And a lot of the noise that we've been seeing has been around whether or not AI represents some existential threat to humanity. But if we roll it back from that, because that's a pretty big issue to deal with, and look at it from a company perspective, from a business standpoint, how do we actually deal with the situation where businesses are indeed experimenting with AI? How do we make sure that what we're doing within our own companies, and there will be very many marketing departments listening to this potentially that will be thinking, yes, we're using that. We're starting to explore some of those things. Research departments that are listening that are thinking, yeah, particularly if I'm in the medical space, I'm using AI as an integral part of my research process. How do we ensure that we stay on the right side, not just today, but into the future as well? It will require us to share a lot more information. Think back to what I was just saying about data. AI thrives on data. For AI to really fulfill its potential, it needs a lot more data than it's getting at the moment. So how do we give it that? How can we be transparent? And then, of course, we've got regulation that comes in because there is a concern as to how AI might be used. Now, from the security standpoint, what's that got to do with the profession? Well, I would say everything. Because as I said just now, data is what fuels AI. And if you're using data in any way, shape, or form, that is an information security issue, and increasingly a cybersecurity issue. So we have to pay attention in 2024 to some of the governance that we've got around that. Very many boards of directors talk to me today about what they should be doing, trying to understand some of the implications of AI and the way in which they would ideally like to use it, not just today, but into the future as well. And make no mistake, boards have a key role to play in the way in which artificial intelligence is being used in the organization. And security is integral. You cannot, in my opinion, divorce AI from the need for sound security. And that is probably one of the biggest opportunities that the security profession has seen for very many years. because AI is totally aligned to the way in which a company is looking to evolve and develop its business. So for the very first time, what we have in the security space is an opportunity to move front and center and be involved in some of the really exciting evolution of the use of technology. But we also have to take into account that we have issues around regulation. And the discussion around complying or not complying is not going to go away anytime soon, simply because regulation is taking a little while to catch up. And what we're starting to see is fragmentation. We aren't seeing, I would suggest, the level of collaboration around the way in which AI in particular, but other forms of regulation are being rolled out. If we take the EU for an example, in the EU, we're now starting to be overcome with a whole variety of different legislation that is going to be hitting people over the next 12 months or so. We've got NIS2, we've got DORA, we've got GDPR being reviewed, we've got the EU AI Act that's going to go through different discussions with member states. And in the middle, we've got companies, we've got chief information security officers, we've got enterprise risk officers, all trying to get their heads around what this actually might mean. And your legal counsel is going to become your best friend. Very many people thought I would never say that. But that is the way that it's going to be, unfortunately. Because if you happen to be looking at how you can expand into a different jurisdiction, you are going to have no choice but to understand much better the regulation that exists in the jurisdiction you're moving into. You're going to have to be reviewing on an ongoing basis the way in which that is changing. So how is your organization going to operate in a future where there is very high value data upon which the business is dependent, where use cases and how you actually use that information to move forward might be restricted by certain regulatory stances? And then the final question that we all have to really get our heads around is, will regulators and legislators really have the required skills and indeed, it must be said, the desire to involve with private sector, with public sector, with researchers, to understand and shape the way in which data is going to be used going forwards so that we're not holding things back, but we're also not freewheeling into an environment where we have no control whatsoever. Because if we look at the way that data is being used, we have to have some kind of tramline available within which we can operate. Otherwise, it will be too late. And we'll never be able to put that genie back in the bottle. So regulation in 2024 is something that we're going to have to spend a lot more time on. The risk is that we will fall into the need for compliance. And compliance never means good security. Compliance means that we can tick a box. And that isn't where I think we should be going in 2024. So what does the business need to know about all of this? Well, cyber leaders really have to start presenting security issues in terms that the business can understand and act on. What does that look like? It looks like reporting cyber risk in financial, economic, and operational terms, not just technical terms. As a CEO, I have no interest in people trying to explain to me what the technical makeup is of a particular solution. What I am interested in is what impact it has on the business. Is it going to affect my ability to deliver on my strategy? Is it going to affect my ability to satisfy the needs of my stakeholders, whether that be customers or whether that be employees? And how and what do I need to be putting in place to make sure that come the day something goes wrong, I can recover as quickly as possible? That's the challenge for cyber leaders in getting the business on side in 2024, I would suggest. And we need to build in inherent flexibility because cyber risk will continue to evolve very quickly. Regulatory changes will undoubtedly occur in multiple jurisdictions. And company risk appetites will shift. So given that, what does good actually look like? Well, we need to have a formal and frequent place on the agenda with business leaders in business departments and boards to discuss cyber risk and the implications of it, not just in the three areas that I've highlighted, but importantly for the business. We need to have a very well rehearsed response plan. This is business continuity planning. Companies are used to it. They're not necessarily used to it in a security environment. We need to understand very clearly and define what the risk tolerance a company has with regard to cyber loss, just like we do with any other type of risk. And if we unpick that one a little bit, that means that we're going to have to work from a security standpoint with enterprise risk. And we need to understand these very critical links between business objectives, strategy, and activities in what is going to become an increasingly complex risk landscape. I mentioned earlier that the board has an integral role to play here, and boards do. They need assurance. They need assurance that the organization is prepared for any unexpected crisis that might come its way. They need assurance that there is a degree of situational awareness across the organization, so somebody is actually watching what's going on. They assume, and indeed need assurance, that some of the basic cyber protection measures are in place. And they read, don't forget, that the majority of breaches, incidents that take place, are because of poor cyber protection measures. We haven't updated something. The human factor has opened up a particular gap. Malware has been downloaded. From the board perspective, these are very simple things to fix. Those of us in the security space know that isn't the case. But we need to explain that. We also need to make sure that our boards understand how good practice is being applied for security governance. And that governance piece is the thing that will change in 2024. Because the risks that I'm talking about in terms of data, AI, and regulation are going to bring additional governance questions for boards. As an example, who has authority to make decisions on data use, on data sharing? If it's that business critical, who's the person making that call? If we're using AI, and particularly generative AI, what's our risk tolerance for it? Who's making that decision? And then what regulations do we need to consider? And how is that going to impact information that we have to share, perhaps right the way down our different supply chains? And let's not forget that increasingly boards of directors and directors as individuals are being held liable for some of these things. So we've got a much higher expectation that our security department, that our legal department will protect, will know what we're doing. Because directors start rightly to get very nervous when they can see that they might be in the crosshairs of legislators and regulators. And that actually is a good thing, because from a security standpoint, it gives us access that perhaps we didn't have before. So how do we finish all of this up? We've got a market landscape that is changing very, very quickly and evolving. We've got three key areas that are going to continue to become more complex and problematic: data, AI, and regulation. We've got higher expectation in terms of engagement between security and the business. And we've got board directors that are very concerned about their personal liability. So here are four considerations that I would suggest you really integrate into your 2024 planning. The first one, of course, is resilience. Resilience has to be the number one business priority. What are the biggest risks? How can we overcome damage that might arise? How can we prepare the organization to respond? The second is risk management, governance, and compliance. And a sound governance framework is key here. That's one of the reasons why we at the ISF keep continually updating our standard of good practice. It provides that overall framework that our members can use. AI, of course, is going to add to the governance burden. So do look out for, if you're a member watching this, the way in which we're integrating that into our next release of the standard. The third one is supply chain. Now, I haven't talked a lot about that in this session because it's almost implicit in everything that we do. I talked about the fact that we have extended the overall real estate from a company standpoint. So we have to work much more collaboratively with our supply chain partners. And then finally, it's the workforce. Work has changed. Policies and procedures need to reflect that. We need to be defining clear accountability for data collection and use, along with the way in which cyber risk is being integrated into that, and work very collaboratively, transparently, with stakeholders to make sure that everybody understands the role that they have to play in protecting the organization, the data, and the way in which it is used across an enterprise and into the personal environment as well.
We'll be back with new episodes in January. And in the meantime, we wish you the happiest holidays. If you want to help support the ISF podcast, we'd be pleased if you'd give us a 5-star rating and write a quick review. Thanks in advance. And be sure to check out the ISF Analyst Insight podcast, which goes in-depth on the hottest topics in information security. In every episode, ISF analysts hand-select active security professionals from ISF member organizations to discuss how the implementation of ISF research uniquely applies to their real-world context. We hope you'll listen. Check out the show notes for a link. And feel free to get in touch. You can contact us at securityforum.org. The ISF podcast is produced by Talkbox Productions and Tavia Gilbert, with senior producer Katie Flood. Mix and master by Kayla Elrod. Additional support from Mandy Morish, Oscar Falk, and Brian Wilson. Music by Alexander Filipiak. Thanks for listening.